Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen. Dear congregation, we praise the Lord in this prayer service with Psalter 87, all stanzas of 87. Jehovah from his throne on high looks down with clear and searching eye on all that dwell below and following. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to John chapter 15, and we'll be reading verses 7 through 17. This is from those last moments of the Lord Jesus with his disciples before he is crucified. In chapter 15, we begin reading in verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, if ye keep my commandments. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Amen. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and glorious God Almighty, we praise Thee and adore Thee, our Creator and our Maker, our Father, who has given us Thine only begotten Son, and who has given Himself to us, showing, Lord, the greatest love a friend could ever show to another. Lord, we praise Thee for having given us Thy Son, that He who is one with Thee became incarnate and as a human came to this earth and took upon Himself a body that could suffer and that could die and did. And we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that through Thy sacrifice we have this certainty that we can speak to the Father, that we can receive this gift of Thine, that whatever we would ask the Father in Thy name, that the Father would give it us. So we do pray this prayer in Thy name, Lord Jesus, that Thou would open our hearts, that Thou would receive our praise, that Thou would instill in our hearts prayers, in our moment of prayers, that we would pray believingly, that we would pray with praises and with confessions, and acknowledging Thy greatness, acknowledging Thy love. And even now, Lord, as we ask that Thy word would speak to our hearts, we ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may bear this fruit, the fruit of worship, and the fruit of love also. In these passages, Thou hast declared Thy love to us, and how we are to love one another. And so in worship, we declare our love to Thee and also our love to our brethren as we seek still to bring our petitions and intercessions in behalf of those in need, and thanking Thee, Lord, for Thy many blessings upon us. So be with us and help us as we consider the precious gift of prayer and everything that prayer contains, as a precious gift from heaven to us, and that we would use it back in response to who Thou art. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, also in the forgiveness of all our sins. We ask, Lord, this, cleanse us and pardon us in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been considering in our prayer services that prayer is a gift and a response. And we have been seeing that being a gift, every content of prayer is also a gift. And being a response, each content of prayer is also a response to God. And when I say content of prayer, is as we've looked at the basics of prayer, we saw that what we do in prayer is praise God. We confess our sins to God. We petition from God. We intercede in our behalf and intercede in behalf of others. And we also give gratitude to God. These are the contents of prayer. It's what we do in prayer. And so as we looked at prayer in general as a gift, we now look at each one of these contents as gifts as well. And we've looked so far as for the gift of praise. We looked at praise as a gift and as a response. We also have looked at the gift of thanksgiving and the response to God of thanksgiving. It's natural to realize that prayer is a gift. We're not the ones who came up with the idea of prayer. It is God who gave us the gift of prayer. And in using prayer, we relate to God. We give gifts of praise. We give gifts of thanksgiving. We respond to God by praise. We respond to God by thanksgiving. And today we hope to look at the gift and the response of petitions. The reality that when we ask God, we're doing something that we can only do because God gave us the ability and the access with which to do it. And when we arrive at this one theme of the contents of prayer, the reality of asking from God, there's this maxim about it that's very precious. Jesus gives us a gift that keeps on giving. Because we're talking about the ability to ask from God as a gift. And what is this gift? It is that we would pray and beseech and intercede. And like Jesus himself says, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You stop to realize this reality that when Jesus says for you to ask, he's giving that gift to you. And how do you use this gift? You ask it by opening your hearts by faith, looking to heaven and asking that he would give. You see, he has given you the gift of prayer, and you use that gift for him to lavish upon you and the church and all those for whom you're praying more gifts. Jesus gives a gift that keeps on giving. In verse 14 of John 15, Jesus says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." This is the whole context that we're hoping to look at today. He says that they are his friends. He said a few verses before that no one has greater love than this than to lay down his life for his friends. The word friend is philos, and it has, of course, the root of the kind of love, philia, that is the love of friendship. Jesus is literally saying, "I am your friends." And you notice the beauty of it. As a friend, he gives us a gift. And it's the gift of praise, prayer. He gives us many gifts, but we're focusing here on the gift of prayer. And what about the gift of prayer? That you can ask, you can petition, and he will give in response to that petition. So you notice that reality. He's giving petition, and with that petition, when you use it, you receive more things, innumerable. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Notice also this little context in verse 16. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." He's saying that there's this need for fruit. And it's not just a little bit. It says, "And that your fruit should remain." That idea of remaining is that it would abide. Jesus is saying, "I don't want just temporary fruit from you. I don't want just seasonal fruit. I want perpetual fruit, like that tree of life that will have fruit in every season. Not like the trees of this world that only have fruit for a little season." And when I was little, I didn't realize that dynamic. And I thought that apple trees just gave apples throughout the years at different seasons. And orange trees did the same. And as you grow up, you start realizing, you know, there are not too many apples in the market. And there are not too many oranges. Or the prices are high. And why? Because there's only a couple months of the year that each fruit, each tree bears its fruit. But there are some trees that are a little more throughout the year, not every single month, but they go through shorter cycles. And if you water it well, and if it's in good sunlight, usually in tropical places, because then there's no winter where it definitely needs to be dormant. But even that tree is not the kind of fruit that we're to bear. It is a non-stop fruit-bearing tree that we are commanded to be. But then Jesus says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So he gives this command that there would be fruit, and he immediately says it, and this is what you'll use for this fruit. And it's not a matter of the right sunshine, and it's not a matter of the right water. It's a matter of prayer, going to God and using this gift that he gives you. Now, with the analogy of fruit and tree bearing fruit, fruit bearing tree, They need something, right? They need actually a lot of things. Trees to bear fruit need sufficient sunlight. They need sufficient water. They need suitable temperatures. They need sufficient nutrients in the soil. They need a desired drainage. It can't have too much water. Some plants can't take that. There has to be lack of disease and lack of insects. And there has some trees need very seasonal and right kind of pruning for there to be good fruit. And these are all things which the tree is absolutely not under its control, for which it has no control. If there's no rain, the tree can't move itself closer to the river. And if it needs more sunlight, it can't move itself out of the woods to receive more sunlight. It can't provide its own nutrients. That it can do photosynthesis, but for that it needs water, it needs sunlight, and it needs oxygen even. It's dependent on the environment. Can't bear fruit on its own. And we can't bear fruit on our own. But Christ is commanding us to bear fruit. And that this fruit would abide, that it would remain, that it would keep on giving. And he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, the Father will give you. So he's saying, pray for it. You see here one thing is dependence. This will lead later to the whole relationship element. This is why we pray, because we depend upon God. But first we're thinking here of this gift. God gives us a gift because we need it. It's not just a decoration. Some gifts that people give are decorative. You don't really need it other than aesthetics. But prayer is not just for beauty. It is for dependence. That's the first thing we see regarding this gift. And the second thing we see is, and it's ironic because it is a fruit. We're being commanded to bear fruit. And if you look at that verse again, verse 16, that the Father ordained us, I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And it's by application that we think, well, if he's speaking now of prayer, we know we need to use this prayer for this fruit. But the direct connection is not precisely or primarily in terms of dependence. Dependence is like a secondary thought. The primary thought is fruit. Because look, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. It's like prayer is part of that fruit that comes from him, further giving us a sense of prayer being a gift. And notice in the beginning that I read in verse 7, notice the connection of prayer and fruit. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You see, he's not primarily saying, for you to bear fruit, you need to pray. That's definitely it. It's there, but it's not the primary thought. The primary thought is, I give you a present, and it is prayer. And when you pray, you are bearing fruit. Prayer is fruit. Leon Morris, he's a commentator, a Reformed commentator. He says this: we ought not to think of prayer as something in the nature of a tool that enables us to do better service. Rather, we do better service in order that we may pray more effectively. Jesus is here telling his followers that it is important that we should all have set before us the goal of being more effective in our praying. So we must realize that praying is in and of itself a fruit. And because it is a fruit, this is what connects to what we're wanting to say. It is a gift, therefore. Because we are to produce fruit. But we understand, biblically speaking, that this fruit, even though God uses it, us for it to come forth, we know it's a gift from God. Even when you think of the tree, yes, she's there and she's bearing fruit, but you saw that list that I made, so much that tree is dependent upon. Even though you see this beautiful apple that comes forth from that apple tree, it used the oxygen from the atmosphere. It used all the nutrients from the soil, the water that came from heaven, and the sunlight from the sun rays, and the pruning from the farmer. And so you have to say, yes, that tree bore that fruit, but this fruit is a gift of God in all of these elements, in all of these ways. And that's what prayer is. It is a fruit, but it is a gift. And there are so many places throughout here. There are four places from chapter 14 to 16 where Jesus is promising prayer. And we can look at those next time as we hope to continue here still for one more sermon. And so we see that prayer is a gift and petition is a gift, the gift of petition. But now let's look at the response of petition. And what I'm meaning here is when you go to God and ask, when you obey what Jesus is saying to whatsoever you need, ask of the Father in my name and he may give you. When you do that, it's obvious that you are relating to God. You are relating to God in response to this very command. He gave you the command to ask. You take his word for it and you ask. You are believing that he is sovereign, that he is hearing your prayer. And in response to his sovereignty, you ask. You are believing that he is good to give your petition. So in response to his goodness, you do ask. And you also give thanks when he gives. In response to his greatness. In response to his love. Prayer, I'll say four things that the text here is showing where prayer as a petition is rooted in. And they're all connected to relationship. The first thing is that prayer as petition is rooted in God's providence. I've said it already in some different words, the sovereignty of God. Because God is sovereign, you go to him for prayer. And notice how Christ puts this here. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Jesus is saying, you are mine. You will need what you need for bearing fruit. So go to the Father and he will give it. It is based on his sovereignty. It is based on my prescience. It is based on election. It is based on providence. So go to God, trusting that he is almighty, that he is sovereign. And you relate to him because of who he is. Secondly, we see that this gift of prayer as petition is rooted in Christ's friendship. So now we come to that principle that Jesus is saying, that you're not my servants. You are now my... henceforth, I call you not servants. Doesn't mean they're not servants anymore. We're always servants. It's not even negative to be considered a servant. The essence here is that now, not only are we servants, but we are now also friends. It's not that we stop being servants. The Lord Jesus is the servant of the Father, and he never shied away from that reality. But we are now more than servants. We are friends. And this prayer as petition is rooted in that friendship. And it goes back to that thought. A friend giving a gift. You notice how those two things are there. A friend gives a gift. So prayer is a gift. This petition is a gift. And it's a friend doing it. In friendship is relationship. Because he loves us, he gives. Look again at verse 14. Or 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And notice this detail. What made it whereby we have a step closer in relationship to Christ? He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus is saying this, since I've been revealing to you things that were before unknown, I've been revealing secrets, I've been opening my heart to you, we have entered a stage of friendship. And that's what friendship is. You can't open your heart to just everybody, but you do open your heart to your friend. That's how you can even tell if you have any friends. Whoever you open your heart to and you share intimate things from heart to heart, that's a friend. When you do it, you're showing your friendship. When they do it, they're showing theirs. When they listen to you, they're showing their friendship. And you're showing yours. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's been telling them that he'll suffer soon. He's been telling them that he will die. He's been telling them that he'll return. All of these things are his opening his heart as a friend. And that's who Jesus is to every single believer. He's your friend. And a friend gives. He gave a gift, and in a few hours he was about to give the ultimate gift, to give his own life. So prayer is rooted in providence. Petition is rooted in providence. The prayer and petition and prayer is rooted in friendship. And prayer and the petition and prayer is rooted in dependence. We go back to that reality. How can I bear this fruit? Only if God helps me. Only if he gives me everything I need. And then we bear this fruit. And there's just one last thought that I'll try to bring in here in closing. And that is that prayer and petition and prayer is rooted in love. Notice verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And notice the parallel that this love is also in verse 7, when he also speaks of asking what you will and it will be done unto you. Verse 8 is where he speaks of himself where he says that they should bear fruit. And then verse 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And then as an expression of that love, he calls them friends. But he says, continue ye in my love. Why is he bringing love in here? So we've seen how prayer has this connection to relation because it is a gift, it is that of a friend, but then there's a theme of love because that's what a friend is. A friend loves. And you know how the whole theme of love is permeating through all of this last section where the Lord Jesus is passing on his testimony before he goes to the cross. Because what is Jesus doing? He's preparing his disciples to go out to the unknown world and share who Jesus is. And you know what they were going to meet with, and it is what we still meet with today. There would be those who would hate them and who would kill them. And what would impel them to keep sharing the news anyway, if not a love for God and a love for those souls who need to know their God? And if there is no love, what would be these evangelists? They would arrive in places, there'd be many people wanting to debate, and without love, what would it be but just a competition of who could win the debates, who could win the arguments? And you notice there's a lot of believers that are exactly that. They call themselves Christians. They're out there trying to pass on the word, but there isn't love. And you can tell that it's just a competition of who speaks louder and who wins the debates. And you notice there's not compassion. There's not love flowing. But Jesus is sending them out into a world that many of which would not be welcoming them, and they would need love, or else they wouldn't go. They would meet people who would not desire that message, and they would have to love them and give it anyway, and go to those places and proclaim who Jesus is. But then just this last little portion, that world would be very hateful around them. And it's amazing how in so many places you find this reality. God is telling them to be loving towards the world and in sharing the gospel. But the commands are often here for the church. This is what verse 17 is. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So they're being sent out to the world. They won't see Jesus anymore in a physical way. This world will hate them. But what are they supposed to do among themselves? They are supposed to love. So while they're encircled with hate, the church is to be found as that safe, safe net of love. And so much of this prayer is connected to this love. Isn't it true, beloved, when you think of our own prayers, we're praying for loved ones for their health, loved ones for their children, loved ones for their salvation, loved ones for a surgery to come. And it's because we love them. And it's what Jesus commanded us to do. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And when we love others, we will pray for them. And whatever it is that we need to ask, Jesus said, ask and the Father will give it you. And so when we're loving others, we are showing our love to the Lord. And when we intercede for others, we're again showing our love to the Lord. We're obeying what He commanded and we're relating to Him in this way. Thou hast told us to love one another, and we are, Lord. We're here in a prayer service to bring these names and these petitions. These are people who need Thy help. Lord, would Thou come and heal? Would Thou come and strengthen? Would Thou come and help? Open doors. People who need jobs. People who need salvation. The greatest petition, the greatest need of all. And when we do it, we're showing love. So prayer, petitioning is a gift and it's a response. Let us then use this gift tonight, and along with the other gifts of praise and confession and gratitude, and let us also rejoice in the fact that we are responding to the Lord. He desires to hear our prayers and that we show our dependence upon Him. Well, let us pray. Our gracious and glorious God, we do thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for having called us friends, for having revealed us to us things that the world did not know. And Lord, we thank Thee for the intimacy that there is between us and Thee, even though we by nature were enemies. And we thank Thee, Lord, for this gift that keeps on giving. Help us, Lord, to make use of it, and in a selfless way. Even as we pray for ourselves, that it would be for Thine honor and glory, and that our hearts would be filled with petitions for others, interceding, making intercession for one another. So hear, Lord, now our prayers as we relate to Thee, as we make use of this gift, as Christ even bid us to do. And we ask all these things, along with all our prayers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we sing Psalter 75 together. Stanzas 1 and 4, 75.
Thank you.
receive now the blessing of the Lord before we continue in prayer. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.